You have tuned in to Let the Bible Speak, a live call-in.
Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we feel privileged and honored to be with you. Again, this is a live radio call-in broadcast. If you have a Bible question or a question of any kind that pertains to religion, give us a call and we'll go to God's Word for the answer. Again, the number to call is 308-9564. That's 308-9564. Today we want to start off with some of the questions that we got from last week. We didn't get an opportunity to answer those questions, and so I hope that those who called in last week are listening so that you might have an answer or get an answer to your question. The first question comes from John. John says, some pastors are talking with their wives, talking at the same time, and I take that to mean that they're preaching together collectively. He says, where is this practice found in the Bible? Well, John, again, this is a good question for us. We don't find this practice in the Scriptures. We don't see an example of that. A passage that may be helpful to you is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 33 through 37. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 33 through 37 talks a little bit about our responsibility, talks a little bit about the idea that God is not the author of confusion, and talks to about who can speak and who cannot, things of that nature. So I encourage you to turn to that passage and read that. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 33 through 37.
Again, this is a live broadcast, and we are so glad that you are taking out a portion of your afternoon to be able to look to the Bible for the answers that we often have in this life. There is one line available right now. If you would like to call in your question, 308-9564. We are live on the air, and you can call in right now at 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. And some Bible questions are very clear to be able to turn to the verse and be able to find the answer. And some of them are kind of like this. It says, someone that called in from last week as well and said, were there people on earth prior to Cain and Abel? And that's an easy one because their parents were certainly here, Adam and Eve. And so, yes, there were people. But it goes on to say, Cain left town and then got married. How was this possible? Well, what we fail to try to remember, we try to reckon time the same way that we do today, and the length of time that people live today, we think, well, that must have been the way it was in the first century as well. And that is just not the case. Matter of fact, we find out that many people lived before the time of the flood to over 900 years. And they were under command of God to populate the earth, to produce children and populate the earth. So if you give a healthy husband and wife, let's just say 500 years to bear children, how many children could they have? Well, you might say, well, about 500. Yeah, okay, well, that's right. And matter of fact, during that 500 years, how many of their children could bear, and then their children, and then their children, and then their children. And before Adam died at 930, he could have met his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchild. And so by the time he died, that many people could have been on the earth, and the earth could have had millions by that time. So obviously, somebody initially had to marry their sister. And we do not know who it was. We only have a few that are mentioned as far as children. And the reason those that are mentioned in the Bible is because there is a lineage of Christ being passed down through Seth, the third one that is mentioned to Adam and Eve. And so, somebody had to marry their sister, but that would have been it. They could have married the cousin, the first, second, third, fourth, fifth cousin, and very easily gone on from there. And then the follow-up question that usually comes from that is, well, I thought it was wrong to marry a close relative. Well, that prohibition did not happen until the time of Moses. Before that time, there was no such law or restriction or commandment of God. And the reason, if you think about it, their genes were not as polluted by then. They were almost at the very beginning of creation, and so their bodies were absolutely perfect. And from that time, our bodies have run down and become more disorderly over a period of time, and thus we have all kind and manners of diseases that ravage us upon the earth today. That's because that's just the way life is. Life, law of thermodynamics, things run down and become disorderly. So I hope that was helpful. 308-9564, that's 308-9564. You can call in your question right now, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. This is a live broadcast, so go ahead and call while the lines are available. 308-9564. We have another question?
Yes, this is another call from last week. Marilyn, she says, why don't churches take communion every Sunday, as the Bible says? Well, Marilyn, again, we appreciate you calling in, and again, I hope that you're listening today. Again, for those of you who are listening, you can call right now. The lines are open, 308-9564. Remember, what we find as a matter of example in the Bible, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, is that the church did come together on the first day of the week to break bread. Now, take break bread, as is translated there, carries with it the idea to actually partake of the Lord's Supper. This was a practice that was done in the early church, and by way of example, we see it took place on the first day of the week. Thus, anyone that is trying to be like the church that we read of in the Bible would be doing the same thing. They would follow the same practice. In Acts chapter 2, when the church was established, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we see that once these folks were saved, what they did. In verse 42, the Bible says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Breaking of bread here makes reference to, again, the Lord's Supper. And so this was one of the things they continued in. This was something that they did as a common practice. Acts 20 and verse 7 gives us the day when they did it. They did it on the first day of the week. And that thus would mean every first day of the week. What we don't find is authorization for us to kind of pick and choose. Marilyn, I don't know why. Some congregations are not doing it. Hopefully this will be helpful to them as well. When we look at God's Word, we have to just do what it says. Again, if you'd like to join us, 308-9564. 308-9564.
I would like to maybe add just another word about that. Marilyn, we sure do appreciate you calling in and listening each week. It is so very important that we let the Bible speak to every concern on our heart. One thing that we should be aware of is the Lord desires for His people to commune with Him each week. It is a central part of our faith to the Lord to take out of the 168 hours during the week that he only asks for us to take one day, 1 hour that day, or however long it takes to be able to commune with Him, remember Him. And why would we not want to do that? It was not like in the Old Testament where every day, every month, two or three times a year, we'd have to go to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices. It was bound upon them to give a tenth of their income, a tenth of their increase, and then all kind of other offerings involved. Wow. Aren't you glad that we live now under the law of Christ, where what He wants us to do is just participate with Him, remember what He did for us, so that He will be always fresh on our hearts on the covenant that we've made with Him. Why would we dare miss that opportunity to meet with Him in that feast? So very good question, and thank you so much for calling in that question.
Well, I just wanted to add, Ricky, you know, sometimes, you know, you hear from people or from time to time that, well, if we do it every week, you know, wouldn't it lose meaning? You know, wouldn't it be less meaningful to me if I'm doing it every week? It's interesting in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, that the Bible seems to go into great deal of Paul does, great deal of detail concerning the Lord's Supper. And how that it would, in fact, not lose meaning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, I'll read that here in just a moment. But go ahead, if you have a question, you can go ahead and call right now, and we will go and answer your question from the Scripture. That's 308-9564, 308-9564. In 1 Corinthians 11, chapter, verse 23, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it. He says, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." You see, it's difficult to think that this process of remembering His body that was broken for those who obey Him, it's difficult to think that that would lose meaning. Notice in verse 25, he says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This new covenant was what Jesus came to establish. It's a new covenant in his blood. It's hard to think that, you know, this new covenant in his blood, which brings salvation, could lose meaning. He says, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. The Lord's Supper was to be a proclamation. It is a proclamation of his death till he comes. If we did that every week, how would that lose meaning? You see, it would not lose meaning. And I think sometimes, Ricky, I think that's what people think. They think that, well, if I do this every week, it is possible for it to lose meaning. But if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, and if you go on through the conclusion of the chapter, you'll see that, in fact, it does not lose meaning. But, in fact, as often as the word is in that text, it says, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. As often. This was done to help us remember the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. It's time for us to take our first break. Again, you can go ahead and call while we're at break, 308-9564, 308-9564, and we'll try to answer the question on your heart. Go ahead and call right now. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study. A 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Today, again, you're listening to a live radio call-in broadcast where we've been focusing on these questions that came in last week. And again, go ahead and call. We always try to encourage getting these questions in early so we can answer them as soon as possible. That number to call is 308-9564. 308-9564. This is, in fact, a live call-in radio broadcast. If you have a question that's on your heart and you're seeking a Bible answer, give us a call right now, 308-9564. We have a caller calling in from Latson. Says, if a person is living a gay lifestyle and is serving the Lord, is his worship vain? Again, this is a very good question for us to consider. The Bible seems to paint the picture of homosexuality or any type of sexual sin as something that the child of God does not engage in. So it's not just homosexuality, but it would be any type of sexually immoral practice. God seems to suggest that that's something that the child of God would not engage in. In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you have Paul talking to the church there at Corinth. And he says in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, and verses 9 through 11. So whoever called this in, I want you to go ahead and write down this passage. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So the unrighteous, no matter what the unrighteous does, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. He says, do not be deceived. He says, neither fornicators, that's those who are sexually immoral. He says, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. In verse 11, he says, and such were some of you. See, in order to be a child of God, I have to turn away from those things. And Paul says to these Christians there at Corinth, he says, you used to be this way. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. And so, yes, a person would have to turn away from those practices in order to be right in the sight of God. Again, you're listening to a live radio broadcast. You have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564.
We have the lines available right now, and you can go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564. We have another caller calling in today and ask a question. They're from Charleston. The question is, one church teaches that we do, and undoubtedly based upon our former discussion about the Lord's Supper, that we do the Lord's Supper as often as we want to show our love to him. Is that acceptable to God? Well, the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 does say, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. But it did not say how often there. And so what we have to do is to look elsewhere to find out how often they partake of the Lord's Supper. And in the very first verse of that chapter, Paul says, be you followers of me, just as I am also of Christ. Later on in Philippians, Paul wrote, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us as a pattern. And one more verse, Philippians 4 and verse 9 says, these things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Now, is that a suggestion or a command where he says, walk in following my example, be followers of me, and the things that you've seen in me, do these, and the God of peace will be with you. Would that be a command or a suggestion? Okay, yes, that's exactly right. It would be a command. And he says, do this. That's the same kind of language that Jesus said in the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. So what we need to do now is to follow Paul's example, and we happen to have his example on how often he gathered together to break bread. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it says that on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, why did they come together? To break bread. When was it? First day of the year? No. First day of the month? No. First day of the week. And how often does that come around? Every 7 days. First day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message to midnight. So we can see there his example, and we're commanded to follow it, was that he gathered together every first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper. Well, you might say, well, that verse didn't say every week, and you would be right. But what if that verse had said first day of the month? Would we conclude that that was a yearly example? Yeah. What if it had said first day of the month? Would we conclude that that was a monthly example? Right. And so it doesn't say year, doesn't say month. So why would we have a problem concluding that it was a weekly thing? And thus the example for us as well is to gather together on the first day of the week to break bread. I hope that helps a little bit. As long as we listen to the church or what the church teaches or what our pastor teaches us and do not check it out with the Bible, there's a bigger problem. We're listening to man rather than God, and we should not think of man above that which is written. 1 Corinthians 4 brings out. We've got to listen to God rather than man. And so let's make certain that we find all our answers in God's Word. But very good question, and thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Let the Bible Speak broadcast today. You can call in your question right now. 308-9564 is the number, and we'll be glad to let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. 308-9564.
You know, it's interesting, Ricky, you brought up this concept that we have to listen to God's Word. Yeah, the Bible says there in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, Romans 10 and verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, those of you who are listening to us today, if you're listening, but you're not checking these scriptures out, then your faith is not in God. Your faith is in us, is in man. And so you shouldn't even listen to us. You should listen to no one when it comes down to the things that pertain to God. You should go to God's Word and find the answer. Again, that passage, Romans 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But why is it so important to go to the Scripture? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, in 2 Timothy... Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, chapter 2, verse 1, in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. In verse 11, the Bible shows how that when they came on the scene, he was in a house. In verse 11, the Bible says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. In Matthew account, you don't find anything about two coins. But also, we find another account in the book of Luke. And in Luke's account, Luke talks about, again, the birth of Jesus Christ and what was going to be a sign. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. But that's all we have. We don't find anything about two coins. And so, Ricky, I think you have a comment?
Yes, I just did a search for two coins in the Bible, and the only time it comes up is Matthew chapter 10, 29, and Luke 12 and verse 6, and that's talking about going and are there not five sparrows sold for two coins, both of those references in that. And so that's the only time you see that reference in the New Testament of two coins, and that's talking about buying of a sparrow for two coins. And so there's if you've got a preacher that is teaching you something like that, then we would encourage you to consult Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, where we are very much warned very clearly, though we or an angel from heaven or any other man preach any other gospel message teaching to you, then what we have preached, that is what was taught back then, they are to be accursed. Now, of course, God is the one to give the cursing eventually, but you would do well not to listen to such a teaching if it is not found in God's Word. If we make a mistake on the air, you would be our friend to correct us. Matter of fact, talking about a mistake, last week I gave a wrong reference in talking about the a question. I meant to say 1 Corinthians chapter 6, as Nick brought out earlier, concerning a former question. And so we do make mistakes, and that's why it's so important for you to check us out and make certain when we stand before God one day, we're going to be given an account based upon His Word. Not anybody on the radio or in the pulpit. It will be based upon His Word that we're going to be judged. And so let's go there for the answer. And thus, the name of this program is Let the Bible Speak. You have a question? You have a request of some kind? Where does the Bible say, or what does the Bible say about something? Then go ahead. We have one line available right now, 308-9564. And you can ask your question. It can either be written down, as all these today have been, and brought in to us, or you can go live on the air, and we'll be glad to let the Bible speak as best we can in a live situation. We do ask that if you want to go live on the air, that if you turn your radio down so there will not be any kind of confusion, because there's a delay that goes over the air. Again, the number, 308-9564. The lines are now available, 308-9564.
We oftentimes make mention of some of the programs that we have available to you. Again, our goal is to help you in your study of the Scriptures. We made mention earlier of the Bible Correspondence Course. I want to go ahead and mention that again. If you're interested in a weekly study, a study that you can do, you know, once a week, go through it during the week, and then send it back in. Someone will grade it, and we'll see you in the next course in that series. Go ahead and call the operator standing by. That number is 553-5157, 553-5157.
We have a caller that's just now called in a question based upon Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the question is, Jesus says to give 10% of our earnings, right? Well, I'm sorry, I can't call you by name, but no, that's not right. Jesus does not say that. Did Jesus practice it? Yes, because he lived under the law of Moses, but that law was nailed to the cross. And so Jesus said no such thing. He told us to give, and it shall be given unto us. In inspiration of the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we are to give bountifully. We are to be a cheerful giver, but nowhere does he tell us to give 10%. Actually, we should want to give more than that, but there is no command that we are to give 10% or to tithe in the New Testament. I hope that helps, and we certainly do appreciate you listening today. I believe we have a caller standing by right now, and his name is Daryl. Is that right? Yes, Daryl, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, we're still trying to get you live on the air. Daryl, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, I can't hear him through the... Speak up.
I'm live, yes.
Okay, yes, okay, go ahead. Well, we can hear you.
My question is, when Jesus said, many are called and few are chosen, and he also made a statement, some were sent, but some just went. In terms of leadership in the church, how do we distinguish who are the chosen leaders of the kingdom of God from the ones that have just went, or the ones who have just appointed themselves to be leaders in the kingdom of God?
Okay, if I understand your question, let me repeat it back to you. How do we distinguish who should be the true leaders within the kingdom of God? Is that your question?
Right. Earthly priests. Priests are like pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers. Many people call themselves and are ordained. But, Jesus talked about wolves in sheep clothing and wheat and tares growing together. How do we distinguish the differences in leadership that have been appointed by God and those who just have appointed themselves?
Okay. All right. Very good question. Thank you so much for calling, and we will look to the Bible for the questions, for the answers right now.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
What we find, Daryl, is that God set forth qualifications for those that would serve in leadership roles in His church, in His body. We find in Titus, at least, the qualifications for an elder or a bishop, an overseer. And in fact, what Paul tells Titus there in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I command you." And then he goes on and he gives a listing of the qualifications. If a man is blameless, and notice that he says, if a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound a doctrine or sound teaching both to exhort and to convict those who contradict." And he goes on in that text to give qualifications. Well, what you'll find in the scriptures is that there's qualifications for the elders, there's qualifications for the deacon. And thus, in order for someone to be in that role, is that they must meet those qualifications. In addition, you don't find an example where there was just one elder or one pastor. The same word, elder, pastor, bishop, those are all the same idea. Shepherd, overseer of the flock, all that's the same idea, and you find that in the book of Acts. But you don't find one person being an elder or a pastor over a congregation, but a plurality, at least multiple, at least two. And so we go to God's Word, we find out the qualifications for a person to be in that role, and then a person cannot just appoint themselves. There's an example in the book of 1 John or 2 John that talks about a man by the name of Diotrephes who kind of seemingly just took over. And again, he says, you wonder, how can we tell if someone's kind of self-appointing themselves? Well, you take note of their behavior. We just read some of the qualifications for the elder. I want you to listen to this guy or listen about this particular individual named Diotrephes and tell me whether or not he sounds like he should be in this role here, or has he just kind of taken over in third John, there's only one chapter, in verse 9, John says, "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us." He wants to be number one. So he will not even receive the apostles. Therefore, John says, "If I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words." When we think about those qualifications for the elder, you know, should the elder be one, or a pastor, should they be one that's using malicious words? This person is not content, he says. He himself does not receive the brethren, and forbid those who wish to, putting them out of the church. And so one way that we can determine whether a person is kind of just self-appointed and kind of just doing their own thing, again, we go to the scriptures and we look at God's qualifications for those who are supposed to be in leadership roles. And if they do not measure up, well, then that tells us then they're not cut according to the word.
In other words, what we have here is something entirely different than what we're observing in the religious world today. What we see today are one man plans and one man rule over flocks. That was not true in the New Testament. It was always a plurality of pastors over a flock. It was never just one. And there was these men had to meet a lot of qualities before they could even be put in over a flock. Titus chapter 1, as he read just a minute ago, and also 1 Timothy chapter 3, brings out this lengthy list, and if you combine pull all these words out and all of these things, you will find there are five that are common to both of those passages. There are five of them that are synonyms back and forth to both of these passages, 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, and then there are five unique in each one of these passages. And so we see that these men, not women, these men were to be above reproach, and thus they must meet those qualities. Now, the words that describe these men are elders, are presbyters. Presbyteros is the word. They're also referred to as shepherds or pastors. Poimen is the a Greek word that describes them that way. And then also the word episkopos, which is their oversight or bishop. And so none of those are titles. None of those are positions. All of them are descriptions of who these men are and what they are to be doing. And so that's the role that they have chosen to take. They desire the position of. They've chosen to take upon this task, and they are to meet these qualities before they can ever be considered that way. Again, there must be a plurality. There is not unique offices as far as positions or titles in the kingdom of God. Christ has all authority. All glory belongs to him. And so he's the one that should be all the entitled, and we have none. He's the one to receive all the glory.
Another an example of where, in fact, the elders or bishops were called these various different names or description is in Acts chapter 20. I mentioned earlier Acts, but it's in Acts chapter 20, verse 17. You have the elders being called. Paul says, the Bible says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So the context is he's talking about the elders of the church. In verse 28, notice what he says to them. He says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That term overseers, again, that's the word bishop there. That's what an elder was. An elder was a bishop, an overseer. He says, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd. That's that word pastor. He's to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. These terms, again, as Ricky noted, were description of the work that these men were to do. Again, you look at the example. You go to God's Word. You find out what God's Word say, and then you cut by the pattern. Hopefully this has been helpful to you. Ricky, you have something else?
Thomas, we're going to answer your question next, but we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be right back with your question. His question has to do with youth pastors today. And so those of you that have a question about that, stay tuned. We'll get to that question in just a second. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
All right, we're back live on the air again, and just as we mentioned, Thomas called in just a few minutes ago from Lansing. And again, Thomas, thank you for listening, and thank you for tuning in and calling in your question. We hope the broadcast is a blessing to you today. Our desire is for God to be glorified and for you to be strengthened as we look to the Bible for the answer. His question is, we have a youth pastor. He is not married. How can he be a pastor? Well, obviously, Thomas, let's go to the Bible for the answer, because it brings out 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, and this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the office of a bishop, that's the Greek word episkopos there, or again, elder, overseer, pastor, they're all referring to the same men. It says, if he desires this position, he desires a good work. For a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, and many other things in this list. And so you're exactly right, Thomas. How can he be a pastor if he's not married? He cannot be. And matter of fact, the idea of a pastor, how can that be? Of course, there are supposed to be pastors, a plurality of men that meet these qualities. over the flock. It's not a one-man show. It's not. And again, he could be how could he even be a deacon? Because it goes on in chapter 3, beginning with verse 8, talking about him and his children there and his wife being in subjection, and that she be grave and not slanderous. And so there again, he couldn't even be a deacon if he was not married, according to these qualities here. That's verses 8 through 13, 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 13. So he couldn't even be a deacon as well. You know what gets me sometimes? I'll meet these young men going down the road on a bicycle, and they'll have their little name badge, and they'll call themselves Elder so-and-so. And I'm thinking, Elder? You're not even wet behind the ears yet. How can you be called an elder? And then, of course, they have their little statement about that. But obviously, elder means someone that is older, experienced. And matter of fact, 1 Timothy chapter 3, in this list, it brings out that this man, in order to lead this way, he is not to be a novice or someone that is inexperienced. And so all of that flies in the face of what God's Word says. We must let God's Word be the standard by which we follow. And we can take Bible names and Bible words, and we can ascribe to them different definitions. And thus, we not be able to be communicating right. And confusion will be the result of that. In 1 Timothy chapter 14, it brings out that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And so if we're going to have a lack of confusion, if we're going to have unity and clarity in our communication, then we need to speak the way the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent, and let there be no standard but God's Word and God's Word alone. And then we can get back to what the Lord intended for His people to be: unified, loving, and serving Him, giving Him all glory and honor. He is the head of the church. He purchased it with His blood, and we need to follow His Word if we're going to be His people. Thanks, Thomas. Very good question, and you're going to have to ask that church there how he can do that or how they can do that. It is certainly not with God's authority. Thank you for listening today. Again, this number here, you can call in your question. We have one line available, 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak. We do want you to be aware of, there's an operator standing by for free information to be sent to you. If you would like to study in the privacy of your home, you can study at any time during the day that you like. We'll be glad to send these courses to you free of charge in the mail. That number to call the operator standing by is 553-5157, and she will take your information, and we'll be glad to send this to you free of charge, a comprehensive course, a big picture of the Bible, to where that you can see what's the purpose of this book and what is it that God intends for us to do about the knowledge that we obtain in His book. And we'll be glad to send this to you. 553-5157, that's the number to call. She's standing ready right now, and we'll be glad to send that to you free of charge. 553-5157. But now, if you want to go ahead and call in right now, call in your question, you better make it quick. 308-9564 is the number here. And we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. Nick, you have another question?
Yes, this question comes from Charles. Charles, appreciate you calling in today. He says, what scriptures do I turn to help with depression and the troubles of life? You know, just kind of the hardships. Sounds like you have some struggles with money. And sounds like you're in Christ, but you're dealing with some difficult times. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. In Philippians 4 and verse 8, Paul talks about this idea of finally, brethren. Philippians 4 verse 8, and you can read the entire through the conclusion of the chapter, and that should give you some encouragement. I'm going to pick out verse 4 and verse 13 that be helpful. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, and whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of good report, says, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Of course, you can go back up in the text and pick up in verse 6, be anxious in nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So the entire chapter there, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have just about 4 minutes, and so if you would like to get your call in, I want to encourage you to go ahead and call in right now, 308-9564. Charles, if you're still there, also take notice of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, 17, 18, all the way in through chapter 5, where the apostles talk about their light afflictions, which are but for a moment. But, you know, the idea is that there's a reward that's going to come. He said in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hopefully that will be helpful to you. Again, you're not the only one that's experiencing this. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are going through difficult times as our economy has taken a turn. Again, if you'd like to join us right now, 308-9564, 308-9564.
We just also had a caller calling in asking where in the Bible it says, seek you first the kingdom of God, and that's Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew 6 and verse 33. And if we do so, it goes on in verse 34 that we should not worry or think about even tomorrow with any kind of anxiety. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow has a sufficient number of troubles of its own. That's Matthew 6, verse 33 through 34. Actually, again, verses 19 through the end of the chapter is a good idea in taking that passage into account as well. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. You know, there's a lot of people that are hurting financially right now out there, and they are turning to God, which is always good to turn to God. But if we have an idea that if I turn to God, then all my financial worries will go away. And I would encourage you to consider Jesus did not even have a place to lay his head. He didn't even have a pillow or a roof over his head. And so would we need to or consider ourselves more important to where that we should dwell in a place better than our King and our Lord and our Savior? And so should we allow the lack of physical substance or blessings in this physical life to get us down when our Lord himself did not even have a place to call his own, did not have a chariot or a horse or a camel or anything else to ride in? And yet a lot of times we will just get all out of sorts about that. And the truth is the Lord would tell us that he promises that if we will not be anxious, get all upset about these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and seek first his righteousness, all these things will be added unto us. That's a good passage. Matthew 6, verse 33, 34 shows us and gives us a great deal of comfort. We do want you to know that we're serious when we offer these Bible materials over the air, that we'll be glad to send that to you. Please do not send us money. This is not our intention. We do want you to look to the Bible and receive the riches that God intends for us to have, and that is a home in heaven with him one day. Why not take advantage of it? Learn his word. Learn the path that will lead us to heaven. We want you to know, and thank you for tuning in today, and we're reaching the end of our program here, and we want you to tune in again next week as we let the Bible speak. This is Ricky and Nick saying that we are prayerful that you will always look to his word and you will receive the blessing that God intends. Thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week as we let the Bible speak.
I want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be faithful every day. You're the reason I'm weeping, rejoicing all the way.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a weekly live broadcast where you ask the questions and God's Word gives the answers. It is our prayer that God receives all honor and glory from this broadcast. The program is made possible by Christians belonging to Christ who meet for worship in Goose Creek. We're so blessed by God and are thrilled to be able to share God's pure gospel with you, so each of us will be prepared for the time when we'll meet God face to face and be judged by that same word. It is so very important that we turn to the Bible alone in all matters of faith. We must seek only his will in everything. We must be committed to let the Bible speak for itself. You can continue to call after the broadcast today for free Bible material at 553-5157. call now for the material. Later, you can continue to call 24/7 for a daily recorded message from God's Word. Thank you for joining us today. Tell others about the program and be sure to tune in next week at this time for Let the Bible Speak.